Today is Thursday, November the 2nd, 2017. We're going to read Moshe Soloveitchik Shir on Parshas Vayera. Right in here.
Hello, everybody. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you. It's nice to be back. I'd like to thank Young Israel and, for their generosity and kindness, allowing us to have our class here. And I'd also like to thank those who set up the tables. I'd like to thank him, whoever he is, for setting up the tables and the chairs. And I also would like to thank somebody else, too, who helps to schlep in the food and keep me company and slaughter me at backgammon every once in a while. We had a wonderful trip to Israel, and it was well worth going, and I hope that we'll continue to go sooner and sooner as time goes on. I hope that you all will too. The land is really doing very well economically. There's so many people from all over the world coming to Israel now. I've never seen anything like it. They come in plane loads and bus loads and the economy seems to be doing very, very well. And I hope that it continues because Israel deserves it. Our people deserve it.
Amen.
So, if you have cell phones, would you please shut them off? I would very much appreciate it. And we're going to be davening Maariv right after the class, and I hope that you enjoy. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Okay, this week's Sedrus Parshas Vayera. Vayera Hashem Elov, God appeared to him. Our sages tell us that God appeared to Avram in the sense to be Mevakechol. It was the third day from the Bris Mila. The third day from an operation is always considered the most painful. And so God appeared to Avram to be Mevakechol. Matter of fact, our sages say that we learn out from here the mitzvah b'kacholim, b'halachta b'drachav, and you should go in his path. Mahu mevakacholim, just like he visits the sick, apatam mevakacholim, you should also visit the sick. And we learn out other things. We know that God made clothes for Adam and Chava. So just like God clothes people, so you too, if person help people get clothes where it's necessary. God buried Moshe Rabbeinu, so God was Menachem Avil Yitzchak. So all of these things we learn out from the. But my uncle found it very strange, because we find in Parshas Lech Lecha that God appears to Avram numerous times. But each time, the Torah tells us what God said to Avram. In other words, God appeared to Avram to tell Avram something. Either Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, whatever it is, about the Bris Bein Absarim, telling him about the Bris, the covenants that he's making. God appeared to Avram many, many times in Parshas Lech Lecha. But every time, the Torah tells us of what God told Avram when he appeared to him. And here, it's just for Yero Lov Hashem. It doesn't tell us. My uncle assumes, and very likely that he's right, that God really didn't tell him anything. Just God appeared to him. And the question is, why? Why? What's the idea behind it? Now, this is mentioned immediately after the mitzvah of Bris Milah, the covenant. The covenant, the Bris Milah, is different than almost all the other mitzvahs of the Torah. In other words, because Bris Milah represents not just the mitzvah, but it establishes a relationship. Certainly, according to the opinions that at this point Avram becomes the Jew or completes his Geirus, it establishes a special relationship. But it could be the mitzvah of Bris Milah in general. And we it's very interesting, we find, my uncle didn't say this, but I always mention that based on Reb Chaim says that the mitzvah of Bris Milah is mentioned twice in the Torah. It's mentioned in Parshas Lech Lecha, and it's mentioned in Parshas Tazria. And Reb Chaim says those represent two separate mitzvahs, and he talks about when one mitzvah applies and when the one mitzvah doesn't apply. But why is there two separate mitzvahs by Bris Milah? And I think because Bris Milah represents, it's not just the mitzvah, it's a relationship. And we know, I've said it here so many times, that every Jew has a double relationship with God. On one hand, we have a relationship with God based on the perception of God in the life of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in the life of our ancestors. And then we have a relationship with God based on the perception of God in our own lives. So the mitzvah in Parshas Lech Lecha, that represents the relationship. That represents the relationship that we have with God based on the perception of God in the life of our ancestors, in the history of the Jewish people, in the formation of the Jewish people. Whereas the mitzvah in Parshas Tazria represents the personal relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, so my uncle says, and he says that he doesn't give this, at least let's say somebody is sick and people come to visit, and usually they talk with the sick person. And they have discussions, whatever it is, and that is a mitzvah, because you're talking with him and all that. But there are certain individuals that the chola appreciates just their being there. The more intimate the relationship, the closer the association, the less necessity there is for talking. Just the being there gives the person a good feeling. I'm not alone. If somebody who I really don't know, you know, when I was in college, I majored in sociology. So I wanted to major in philosophy. My father wanted me to major in psychology. And we compromised in sociology. Okay. So, but in sociology, they talk about primary relationships and secondary relationships. And what's a secondary relationship? Secondary relationship is, let's say, the relationship you have at your company, with your workers, with your boss. It's a relationship that exists for a certain purpose, whatever it is. A primary relationship, that's your immediate family. That's an altogether different type of relationship. Until the Bris Milah took place, the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was analogous to what you would call a secondary relationship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Avram to tell him something. But after the Bris Milah was there, then you had a real relationship. It was an intimate relationship. So didn't have to say anything. On the contrary, just to be. So God didn't say anything to Avram because he wanted Avram to realize the change. It's a different relationship. It's a different relationship now. This is what my uncle said. And the truth of the matter is, it's very interesting when you look at the when you look at the Shira, the song portions of the Torah versus the other parts of the Torah, my father would always point it out. In the Shira portions of the Torah, there is a lot of empty space. If you ever get the Aliyah for Az Yashir, you'll see there's a lot of space. Why? Because the truth of the matter is, words are very limiting. Words cannot fully express emotions and feelings. Tune, to a certain degree, expresses better emotions and feelings. I would once ask my father, what's the brisker tune? We're not known for being singers, even though our name is Soloveitchik. And the reason we have the name Soloveitchik, Soloveitchik means little nightingale. And why? Because we're Levian, and the Levian used to sing in the Beis Hamikdash. So the name, in fact, originally the name was Soloveitchik Siegel, Skan Levy, but the name adopted was Soloveitchik because the Levian used to sing in the Beis Hamikdash. So now I understand why they said chick, little, because we're not the greatest singers on the face of the world. So the Soloveitchik in Russian means a nightingale. And chick is a suffix for small. So, huh? Okay, so you know Russian. So, huh? Oh, okay. Anyway, so.
Fortune.
So, okay, that's right. Boy, he's also little. Anyway, boy usually is the young fellow. Okay, so I asked my father. I said, "What is the brisker niggin?" So my father said to me. He says, Lubavitchers say that there's a tune with words, and higher than that is a tune without words. And then my father said, and I don't know if this was part of the Lubavitcher saying, but my father added that, higher than that is a tune without a tune. Because, he says, that's the brisker niggin. So, in other words, the idea is sometimes you don't have to say anything. You don't have to sing a tune. The emotions are just there. So a tune adds words actually is limitation. But sometimes it just, it's to put it, even a tune can't express the feelings and the emotions. And this was the idea over here, that the that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show the new relationship, the primary relationship, the closeness, the intimate relationship. Person, just knowing you, that there's someone close to you that's there. And it could be when you talk with the person, when they get into a discussion, it takes away. Because the focus becomes the discussion, not the presence of the person. So this is it. Now, I want to suggest another possible approach to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say anything. There was a message in the being there and not saying anything. And the now, when you take a look at Kabbalah Satorah in Parshas Yisro, so so before the giving of the Torah, it's Vayihi Kolos Uvrachim Vanan Kaved Aor V'Kol Shofar Chazak Mod VaYechrad Kolam Asher B'Machane. So there was the Kolos Uvrachim, the sounds, the thunder, and the sound of the shofar, and the Torah is only given a short while later. But initially, you have all of this phenomena of the kolos brachim, the sounds, the sound of the shofar taking place at Har Sinai. Now, what did that represent? I've mentioned many times, over kol shofar hafata. My father and my uncle always used to talk. My father would talk about the fire of Sinai as opposed to the mitzvos of Sinai. And my uncle would talk about the kolos ubrakim, versus the sound of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Sinai. The voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Sinai. Maybe I got it reversed a little bit. Whatever it is, but what is the kolos ubrachim? It's the experience of Sinai. What's the experience of Sinai? I always mention in the Haggadah we say Yilu Kervanu Lefnei Har Sinai. If God brought us close to Mount Sinai, V'lo Nasan Lanu Satorah, didn't give the Torah, Dayeno, that would have been also something great. What would have been so great about coming to Sinai? But what would have been coming to Sinai is sensing the presence of God. But the question is, why did the Jewish people have to sense the presence of God before the Torah was actually being given? Why did the Jewish people have to sense the presence of God even before the Torah is given? Now the Rambam says, the first Rambam, Yesod HaYesodos V'Amud HaChokmos, the foundation of all foundations, and the pillar of all wisdom is Leida Sheyesham Matzu Rishon, to know that there is one who was first. V'hu Mamtzi Kol Nimtza, and he brings into existence everything that exists. V'chol HaNimtzoim B'Shemayim Uvaretz, and everything that's found in heaven and earth. U'Masha B'Neim Eino Ela Me'amitas Himtzo, comes as a result of the truthfulness of his existence. Now, it's interesting. Generally, the word The word, when we talk about belief in God, this is the mitzvah of belief in God, the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem, belief in God. Usually the word emunah is used, belief. The Rambam in Yad HaChazaka, he doesn't use the word emunah. He says leida, to know. To know of God, of God's existence. And that he brings everything. The question is, what is the difference? Now, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, he says emunah. But Reb Chaim Heller, who knew about it, probably every language on the face of the earth, in addition to Arabic, but he was sort of like the genius of the early 20th century, and my uncle was very close with him in Berlin, so he looked through the Rambam, the original, the Arabic, and he pointed out that the original, the Arabic word that was used, both meant both leida, to know, and to believe. So in Arabic there's one word that means to know and to believe, and the Rambam used that word in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Okay, but what is the difference between knowledge of God's existence, knowledge of God as the creator, and belief in God? So many say, even some of the very, very frum, I think even Rebbe Chana Wasserman, and they explain it on the basis, but he says that's not for everybody, that leida means to know the proofs of God's existence, philosophical proofs, whatever it is. But he says that's only for certain individuals, whatever it is. To lay that, to understand. In other words, to know the philosophical proofs of God's existence. Obviously, not everybody is on the level to know that. My uncle explained it differently, and I think on the basis of things the Brisker Rav repeat in the name of Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim had that explanation also. My uncle said, it says, "B'chol terechecha da'ehu," in all your paths, know him. What does it mean, in all your paths, know him? The answer is, you have to sense the presence of God wherever you go. You see the sun, this is what my uncle said, you see the sun go up. It's not the sun going up. You have to see God putting the sun up. Now, the question, I think, here is the issue. The issue is that when God speaks to us, we recognize his presence. There are those that probably don't even under those circumstances. But when God speaks to us, we recognize his presence. Unfortunately, when we speak to God, most of the time we don't recognize his presence. The essence of tefillah, the essence of davening, my great-grandfather, Reb Chaim, he discussed the contradiction in the Rambam. In one place, the Rambam seems to imply that a person needs a kavana, concentration, focus, in the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. In another place, the Rambam seems to imply that you need kavana throughout the whole Shemoneh Esrei. So Reb Chaim says, what's the idea? He says, very simple. He says, there are two types of kavana. He says, there's kavana, focus, concentration on what am I saying. In other words, to understand what the words are saying. And that's a halacha. The halacha is that if you can, we're not talking of a person who can't, but if a person can, he should at least know the meaning of the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. But then there's another form of kavana. And that form of kavana is to know that you're standing before God. Omed lefnei hashchina. Standing before God. And he said, that's not a halacha. He says, if you don't realize you're standing before God, that you're talking to God. You're talking to the wall. It's not davening. It's not a halacha that you have to realize. That's the definition of the mitzvah. In other words, we daven. We say the words. But do we sense the presence of God before us? We have to sense the presence of God not only when God talks to us, but when we talk to God. Because otherwise it's not talking to God. Avraham tikkun tefillah shacharis. Avraham instituted the first regular tefillah, shacharis. And what does the pasuk say? Okay, Rashi says tikkun sofrim, but the pasuk says, for Avram adayin omed lefnei elokim, that Avram was standing before God. Then vayigash Avram, and take a look even Rashi vayigash Avram. Avram is davening, tzaleh, the Targum says that Avram davens. So it's the relationship, the sensing the presence of God that's the essence, that is the essence of davening. Now, there is a story, I mentioned the story once before. Some people feel it has a depressing end, but the lesson is true. It is a little depressing. There was in Hungary, in the family of Rav Chatzkel Shinnifer. Rav Chatzkel Shinnifer, I heard the story from my father. Rav Chatzkel Shinnifer was the son of the Divrei Chaim. Divrei Chaim was probably the outstanding, in his time, Hungarian Hasidic Rebbe. Rav Chaim Tzanza, yeah. This is very... I forgot who said it. One of the Hasidim used to say a story that, you know, the Vilna Gaon fought the Hasidim. So fought the Hasidim. So the Hasidim were not the biggest fans of the Vilna Gaon, but many of them recognized his greatness and learning. So they used to say that when the Vilna Gaon died, he came in front of the seat of glory. I forgot which Hasidic Rebbe said this, or that they say it over in which name Hasidic Rebbe. So they said he only had one thing wrong, and that was that he fought the Hasidim. And as a result of that, he has to agree to go hear something in the Hasidus from some... No. So he has to go back to this world. What's it called? Gilgal, yeah. So he has to go back to this world to be Mesakin there. And they sent him back as Reb Chaim, the Divrei Chaim, as the Divrei Chaim. So, but it didn't work, because even though Divrei Chaim was a Hasidic Rebbe, he fought with all the other Hasidic Rebbe. So that was the story. But anyway, Reb Chatzkel Shinever, so he had a niece who was married to a certain person, and this person disappeared. You know, there was no get, there was nothing. And then, after many years, a man showed up in the town, and he claimed that he was her former husband. There was no talk of them of reconciliation, but the question was, could we assume that he was the husband and she could get a get from him and marry somebody else?
30 years.
Okay. So at that time, most of the Hungarian Rabbanim, said yes. But Rav Chaskel Shinnefer, who was her uncle, was very much opposed to it, because he felt that we can't assume that he was the husband. Now, he used to tell, he told her over certain things that she said were secrets that she told, her husband. So that was the argument on the basis of that, that should be proof that it was, there was a strong dispute about it, so it was decided they'll give it over to a Lithuanian Rav who had no Nagias or whatever, but Rav Chaskel Shinnefer said he only agrees to one Lithuanian Rav, the Beis Halevi, my great-great-grandfather. Why? He said because the Lithuanian Rabbanim, they're scared of the Shulchan Aruch, not of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. he said, and the Beis Halevi, in addition to being scared of the Shulchan Aruch, was also scared of God, had the fear of God that he approved them. Listen, they were great Dolim at that time, but okay, well, whatever it was, that was maybe Rav Chaskel Shinnefer realized the Beis Halevi would agree with him. Anyway, so whatever it was, No, because the Beis Halevi pointed out a very simple thing. He said, in those days, it wasn't like the cities today. In those days, each town had a special building where travelers people, there were lots of people that would travel from town to town and sleep in this building. He says, it's very likely this guy ran away. He probably ran from town to town, and this other fellow was. And then when they told over things, so there was no proof. There was no proof that he was the husband. That's the point. The point was, sometimes it's very interesting. Sometimes the point he was trying to say is that you can do mitzvos and think only of the mitzvos without thinking about God. Hergel, something you're used to. Sometimes we'll daven, just say the words. But God is the furthest thing from our minds. We're thinking about the World Series. I don't know. Whatever it is. So, in other words, a person has to understand that a person has to be able to sense the presence of God. Has to be able to sense the presence of God even when he's not, even when God is not talking to him. Even, and that was, now here, Avram got the first mitzvah, Bris Milah. This was the first mitzvah that Avram got. But Avram was unique in the sense, Avram, it wasn't just a question of doing the mitzvahs. Avram was a person who always sensed the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And his service to God wasn't only in listening to what God told him, but his service of God was in always sensing the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we get the first mitzvah, after all, this is the first mitzvah that is given to the Jewish people. Okay, it's repeated at Sinai, but this is the first mitzvah that is given, demanded of the Jewish people, is Bris Milah. But the Jewish people have to realize that it's not just doing the mitzvot that it's important. sometimes mitzvos could be used as a distraction from sensing the presence of God. I feel, I just do the mitzvos. I feel that religious feeling, the religious satisfaction of doing the mitzvos. But we can forget about God and do all the mitzvos of the Torah. So after Avram gets the mitzvah of Bris Milah and he does the mitzvah of Bris Milah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him, showing the nature of the relationship that Avram has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, that there are no distractions, not the mitzvos and not nature, not anything. In other words, the idea of sensing, of being able to sense the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is part of our service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's after that that Avram institutes Tefillah Shacharis, which is the mitzvah, the first mitzvah of davening that's given in the Torah. And the mitzvah of davening is a mitzvah of standing Omed Lefnei Hashchina, standing before.
Do you have a name? I didn't get it.
Go ahead.